Are you like me? Are you tired of wearing uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under your sweater? You got to check out Collars & Co., the makers of the dress collar polo. So the shirts, they're four-way stretch, they're buttery soft polos, but with firm dress collars on them. So they give you the dress shirt look, but an extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them under your sweater, your blazer, or by themselves. They're great for the office. They're great for the golf course. They're great for a night out. Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN wears these. They look sharp. You don't want to wear shirts that you bought at a sporting goods store to work or out on a date. These shirts are exploding. The brand has gone viral on social media. They received a $1 million investment from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones on Shark Tank. It's because of those collars. They don't flop down. They don't spread out like a 1970s disco collar. They stay firm. They stay sharp all day. They're one less thing to worry about. If you're looking for a performance dress shirt or a polo that looks great all day, you got to check out collarsandco.com. Use the promo code VANITY for 15% off any purchase of $100 or more. Again, that's collarsandco, C-O-L-L-A-R-S, and co.com. Use the promo code VANITY, 15% off purchase of $100 or more.
It's time for pre-roll, Jesselnik style. Thank you to Fight Camp for sponsoring this episode of JRVP. Fight Camp, the first rule, you tell everybody. Fight Camp provides everything. Start boxing from home. That means amazing at-home boxing equipment along with new boxing and bodyweight workouts released every week. It's the perfect at-home workout for anyone. Anyone, even if you have no arms. You'll love this workout. Go to joinfightcamp.com/vanity, V-A-N-I-T-Y, to get free shipping and a gift valued up to $109 with your purchase. More on that later.
Beautifully done. All right, this week we've got some dogs with firearms, children with rabies, and an exploding whale coming up on episode 79 of the Jesselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRBP.
Junior Vice President.
And I want, and I need, and I lust, and a mole.
Doing the show remotely.
Yes, we went back
week.
To remote.
We're remotely this week. We're being safe, but that doesn't mean you're safe from Jesselnik cranking out some sweet Def Leppard lyrics to start the
yeah.
show.
I saw there was a pattern in the stories this week, and I thought, and as I'm always thinking about Def Leppard, I thought, how can I work them into the show? And and the song Animal, and I want, and I need, and I lust, is hilarious. So yeah, I brought that in. But Greg, do you want to talk about why we're being extra safe? It's not because the whole country should be being extra safe. Like, Greg and I have been on point during COVID. I've got a bubble of basically one person, and then I see Greg sometimes in the family, but I've got like a one person bubble that I'm raising this dog with, and I'm super safe. Greg is just with his family. He's got kids to take care of and his wife, being super safe, his whole family being super safe. Erica, what are you doing?
I went with my bubble to go wine tasting, and it's the same people. We got COVID tests before it happened. Greg's picking up, you know, driving people back from hospital visits and stuff like that too. You guys were just in San Diego. I think it's bullshit that I was outside at a winery. Yes.
You're trying to shame Greg for driving a friend home from the hospital.
Yeah, driving a friend whose wife listens to this show home from his chemo treatments to the hospital. Well, we've got our masks on.
They're my friend too,
I wasn't gonna throw you under the bus.
But it's like you guys were just in San Diego and you're seeing the same people seeing.
Yours is a group of like 10 people.
No, it's not 10.
It was 8 people. It was 8 people, and 2 were randos that I'd never seen before. And I don't even mind. Like, it's fine. We're doing it remotely. We're just being it safe. But the whole getting tested thing, it doesn't really make a difference. There was literally like a great, you know, an article in the LA Times about sort of that phenomenon,
right,
that a lot of people are getting tested before and after they go out partying almost as a cue. And they say that's basically
Thanksgiving stuff.
It should.
It's basically saying like that's a terrible strategy. It's basically a disaster because you don't test positive off until days and weeks after. It's beside the point.
Don't leave my house.
You went to a wine tasting, and I know what wine tasting are like. You take a little sip of the wine, you turn to your friend, you spit it in their mouth. You're sharing cups. No. Every wine tasting I've ever been to, multiple cups, you know? You write your name on the cup, and then you give it to someone else. They write their name on the cup, and then by the end, you have a cup that has everyone's name on it that you went wine tasting with. Your 8-person bubble that you think you're super safe in.
Right, plus, like two of them I didn't even recognize. They looked like extras that they just hired to make the Instagram look like a little bigger. I mean, and I actually don't mind at all, but it doesn't have to, you know, do I trust that 7th and 8th person I've never met before with like the 1% chance that it like, you know, might kill Walker's friend's grandparents? It's like, no, I'm not going to risk it. You know,
I wouldn't let Erica in my home. I wouldn't let her in the lobby if she tried to come here. Erica's like the outbreak monkey. That I think Erica is representing COVID across the country. I can't go home for Thanksgiving. My mom's weeping because Erica had to go wine tasting. I would have, you know what? I would love to go wine tasting with 8 people that Erica's friends with, but I didn't because I'm responsible.
It actually, well, at this point, and I didn't know Anthony was going to go so hard here about this.
I'm all about responsibility.
But actually, moving forward, they just announced some new sanctions in LA. So moving forward, that trip actually, as of Wednesday, I believe Erica would have been, you know, against the rules technically, because you're not allowed to have more than 3 households in the same place, and that would have been, I don't know, 6 or 7 or whatever that.
No, it was 3 couples, the same people I haven't seen.
No, there was There was 4th. Why are you trying
just
to like, change the numbers?
Just because you don't know who they are doesn't mean that.
Right,
but
that's 4. That's four different couples. So that means that you'd be over. It's fine. It's fine as long as you stay over there.
I can't believe I'm the responsible one. I can't believe it. Like my family was upset that I'm the only one not coming for Thanksgiving, and now I think everyone's a little bit worried about it. It's troublesome. So yeah, we'll be doing it remotely, definitely this week, probably until Erica gets it together. So I would think maybe 2022. You know, we're going to be doing remote Zooms, but it's easy. It's fun. We're not mad at you, Erica. We're just afraid of you.
Right, exactly.
On a viral level, but you enjoy yourself.
It's not hypocritical at all. This is where, and here's the thing, like Erica, I have no doubt will be savvier about what she posts, but am I going to trust all these people and all their lives? It's fine. It's early, you know.
You know, when Greg drove his friend home from the hospital, were they drinking wine in the car without masks? Of course they were. Of course they were. But he didn't put it on the gram. You know
right.
what I mean? Erica, make an Instagram for your pet, and that should be it. I think that's the lesson.
Yeah,
we're learning here.
Speaking of Rummy, I have noticed. I think.
Wait, is he home? Is he here?
Yeah, Rummy's Rummy's sleeping on the floor behind me. Took him to the vet today.
Get him to the vet today.
65 pounds.
Oh, what a big boy!
65 pounds of dog. You know what he was when he got here? 44. You know what he was supposed to be when he got here? 30. You know he's supposed to end up at 30, and he's more than double. But I love him. And
can you return him?
No, I would never. I mean, even if he grew 100 times this size and bit me every morning, I would keep him. I love him so much. I had another run-in with Dog Walker Jesus, as the JRVP fans love to hear about. And this time, I feel like he gave me a blessing. Like, I might be canonized because I saw him coming from like a mile away. My dog lays down like it always does to play with dogs. And he walks very slowly. There's a smile on his face. And he walks up and just stops and says, "You are very patient." And I was like, "Thank you, Dog Walker Jesus." And then he left. And I walked away. That like, I am patient. This dog has given me patience. According to Dog Walker Jesus. Hopefully I see him again.
I think Rummy has special powers because I have noticed now it's been a week plus since we got back from the trip with you and Rummy. And my son Walker, I think, is warmer to dogs in general. I've seen he's less afraid of dogs. His love affair with Rummy has opened him up and helped erase his fear from other dogs. So Rummy, he's like a therapy dog.
Yeah, I mean, now Rummy's kind of opened him up, so now Walker's only afraid of everything else. I hope he never gets bit. I hope he doesn't do something foolish. But because Dog Walker Jesus has given me his blessing, I will go to heaven for sure.
It actually wasn't me who first suggested. I think it makes sense to do our show remotely. You know, that it's going off around the country. It was actually Walker that didn't shoot. He was like, no, I saw Erica's Instagram, Daddy. I'm not feeling good about it.
Erica, how do you feel about Walker's comments on your Instagram?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're a little inappropriate.
It's
sure.
Super inappropriate.
Yeah, it's weird.
Show me your boobies and your butts?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
That's on everyone. I don't know where he learned it. But it's creepy. I don't know how he got an Instagram account.
But is it
account.
Weirder that I send them to him? Like, should I just not?
It's like a DM kind of thing?
Yeah, should I not send him my boobies and my butts?
I mean, that's up to Greg. I think it's the parents' decision.
Do you think, Greg? It's weird, though?
Do I think it's weird? No. I don't think anything I said is weird.
I did show him that I put a picture up of him petting Rummy the other week. And ever since he's like, you know, and he saw initially, you know, the likes and like a comment or two. And he's asked me many times, like he wants to go back to that picture and like read all the comments. And I'm already like worried. I'm like, no, I want to keep you away from this culture as long as possible.
Yeah. I mean, keep your kids away from Erica at all costs. Anything else go on besides Erica's super spreader wine tasting?
I was in a fucking vineyard, like spread out, like 4,000.
Well, I like how you keep. Well, it's in a. But then you go and you stay in an apartment, right?
No, I was in a hotel room, like, my own hotel room.
Hmm, that sounds safe.
What about? Well, I don't even need to get into it.
I just all I do is I go on hikes with my dog and I kiss everyone I see.
You literally just made out with Dog Walker Jesus on like Hollywood Boulevard, and like that's probably worse.
Erica, like, why do you just lie so much though? You sent me texts from like your Airbnb with like 10 of you there. I've never met anyone that's so bad at lying but just does it like nonstop.
Yeah, it's pathological, and even like the look on your face, you can tell. Like, you'd be the worst poker player ever, ever. Yeah. Have you ever played poker?
No.
Good. You would lose everything.
You would lose everything. So.
You would lose your boobies and your butts. And now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes? No. No notes. But I will say that I will give a note that All Things Comedy is coming through huge. Coming through big time. I mean, and like in a way that for the first few weeks of this podcast, we had no ads. Now we've got so many ads, you're going to puke. You're going to puke from all the things you buy this week.
I would listen to a podcast that was just of you reading these ads. I mean, that might be our spinoff.
Yeah.
Just ads.
I would do it. I mean, imagine me on QVC just tearing it up. They would have to invent new kinds of phones because all the phone lines would be tied up with people trying to order on QVC from me, just selling knives and belts and all kinds of things. Thank you, All Things Comedy. We're going to make so much money. And not only are we going to make money, but we're going to bring you guys happiness, because you get happy when you buy things I tell you to buy and give them to people in your life that you love or hate. So when you listen to this podcast, you're just going to be jotting down things that afterwards go online and buy these things with the codes and give them to people, or keep it for yourself if you're a selfish person. That's fine too. The important thing is that you do what I tell you to do.
Were you making like a commercial jingle there for a second?
Yeah, it sounded like it rhymed.
It had like a little beat.
And you know what? That's just how I talk. Okay, that's the rhythm that I get into when I want to sell things. And this whole podcast is just, I don't even care about the content or laughs or anything. I just want to sell product. And that was, Did We Get Any Notes? And now it's time for
ad copy.
Oh, I was just talking about it. How appropriate. I'm going back to fight camp, okay? Listen, I am really into boxing. I don't know that much about it. I hate cardio so much. I despise running. I don't want to get on a bike. I don't want to do all that stuff. But boxing is so fun because it really is. It's physical. You're fighting. You're protecting yourself. And originally, I got into boxing because I would have dreams where I was trying to punch someone. I had to get in a fight. And I couldn't move my arm. And I hated it so much. So I'm like, if I get into boxing, then maybe that will help with that. And it has. But I love the workout. I don't get sick of it. I don't get bored. It's like, okay, we're doing 10 rounds here. It's fun. And it's a great workout. And this thing, you go online. You read the workouts. They send you the equipment. You don't have to worry about getting the right gloves, the right bag, the right anything. They send it all to you. And then they give you body weight workouts. So you can work out without anything in your home. And right now, that's like the biggest thing. Everyone's trying to buy these weird dumbbells and stuff so you can have in your home. Don't do that. Go basic. Go Neanderthal and box. It's the best. It's having a boxing gym in your own living room with a tech twist. All the gear, top trainers, new technology. It tracks your punches. Everything you need to get a great workout in and do it well. The boxing workout's always been ranked as one of the best ways to get in shape, and it's honestly one of the most fun ways to combine cardio and strength training. Fight Camp offers flexible financing for as low as 0% APR and $0 down. That's zero for everything. You can get it for free if you want, I think. And right now, as a limited time holiday offer, get free shipping and a gift valued up to $109 with every Fight Camp package. Just go to joinfightcamp.com. joinfightcamp.com/vanity. That's right. That's not wrong. Get free shipping and a gift valued up to $109 with your purchase. Bring an authentic boxing and kickboxing gym into your home with Fight Camp. To get your free gift, just go to joinfightcamp.com/vanity. joinfightcamp.com/vanity. And then if you ever see me, we can fight. Because you know how to fight. If you know how to box and someone else knows how to box, then it's like two guys having fun. It's broing out.
Or girls.
And if you're a girl, yeah, girl. You want to get attacked? No, you don't. But if you do get attacked, you want to know how to kick and punch. That's the cool thing. It's not just punching. It's a full body workout. And then you know you can beat up anyone. You don't have to get a dog. If you get this, joinfightcamp.com/vanity. And that was
ad copy.
I like having ads of things that are like super cool. All the ads this week are things that I use. It's not like we have to lie. Like some podcasts do. Some podcasts are like, oh, here, it's a shake weight. Get out of my face. Get all the way out of my face.
Why?
I don't believe. I flat out don't believe you.
They still have. Do they still sell shake weights? Shake weights
more than ever. More than ever.
Popular back in the day.
They because of COVID coming back, you can't find them in stores. It's like it's the new toilet paper because you can use shake weights as toilet paper. That's all they're good for. Joinfightcamp.com. I want to end the podcast early and start boxing.
You do have you know what I'm doing right now? You do have one upstairs, right?
Look what I'm doing right now. Look at it. Look at it. Look at that. Uppercut. Hook. Over the top. Boom. I'm Ali. Fight like a butterfly. Fight like a butterfly. That makes perfect sense.
Your little motions there, it made me think that you've never boxed in your life despite having one of those bags.
One of those bags. I've got a punching bag in my bedroom.
Yeah, you do.
But I'm not going to throw a full punch and it hit my computer screen, Greg. I was kind of miming it. I was doing it for comedic effect.
You were doing it like a four-year-old kind of would, like playing like trucks or something.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what? I'm 8-0 against four-year-olds. With that technique. And now it's time for a little something we like to call Erica's Corner. The first rule of Erica's Corner is you don't go to wine tastings. Erica Tamposi is dangerous. And I don't just mean in terms of what's going on inside of her body and what she can put out there into the atmosphere. I mean she's dangerous just on like a personal level. And it's irresponsible of us to just let her pop off and have her own corner. But JRVP, the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
JRVP. Junior Vice President.
Is dangerous. We are irresponsible. We should not be president. And so we give her a little section to carve out for herself. She can ask a question, play a game, do whatever. Erica, what do you got for us this week?
Ooh, well, I got two fan questions for you guys. The first one is Phil K.
When you say questions for us, guys.
Mostly Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the new bit. That's the new one.
It's weird that people don't have questions for you, Greg.
I know. It's weird.
I would think they'd love to know, you know, how do you do it?
Phil K asks, "Hi Anthony, John Ryman recently mentioned on Reddit that you and Jimmy Fallon once had a legendary standoff in a pitch meeting. Can you tell us the story?"
Yeah, John Ryman was one of my friends. We wrote on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon together. He was brought on shortly after I was brought on, and we got along well. And then he stayed there for a long time after I left. And I guess he did a Reddit AMA and talked about me. We would have to do a pitch meeting, and then they no longer do this. This was just something they had to do in the beginning of the show. We were starting out where every Thursday night, after the show was done taping, we would all have to go in, and every single writer had to pitch two ideas of things to do on the show. And this is when we had no ideas, so everything was valuable, and they just wanted more and more stuff. And the monologue writers, which was me, John Ryman, a couple other guys, had no business being in that meeting. We should not have been there. We're writing jokes. We're not there to write bits. The other 8 or 9 writers are there to write bits, but we had to be there anyway. So it was always humiliating. Like, we were always just like writing something down last minute and walking in and bombing. And if Jimmy didn't like a bit, he would just start looking at his phone. He would just start messing with his phone and be like, nah, that's not good. And people would bail really quickly. They would just start saying something. And if Jimmy lost interest, they'd be like, okay, next bit. And one time I just decided, fuck it. And I pitched a bit that was the Great Pumpkin. It's like for Halloween, the Great Pumpkin comes out from Charlie Brown. And he comes out to visit the late night set. And Jimmy's into that. He's like, I love the Peanuts. I remember the Great Pumpkin, you know, this is interesting. And I go, Jimmy asked the Great Pumpkin, why have you never revealed yourself to the Peanuts characters? Every Halloween, they wait for you, for the Great Pumpkin. And then the Great Pumpkin just talks about how they're all losers and how he hates Charlie Brown. And as soon as I go negative, Jimmy checks out. Jimmy's just like, oh, this is fucking, and he's not in a mad way. Jimmy was a great boss. He never yelled, but he did not like any of my ideas. And I just decide, fuck it, I'm going to see how long I can talk. Jimmy starts looking at his phone, and so I just start running through all the Peanuts characters that I can remember. I'm like, so the Great Pumpkin's like, oh, Lucy, that dork, oh, what a loser. Charlie Brown, oh, Pigpen, the black one. Like, I'm just like going through, and the room is just stunned. They're like waiting for Jimmy to snap, and he never does. He just stays on his phone the whole time, and for 5 minutes. For 5 minutes, I'm going and going and going. And even afterwards, like the head of the show came into my office and was just like, shook his head laughing. Like, I get why you did it, but why do you have to do it? I think I ended the pitch meeting. I think Jimmy was just like, all right, that's it. Everyone get out of here. But no one was like really mad at me. They kind of understood. But it was a really fun one to do. A really fun one to do.
That's awesome.
I liked hearing all your stories from, because you were only there for a year or so.
Yes.
Right. But you realized pretty quickly, like, how much Jimmy Fallon, like, was not going to like your humor. And you had to, like, just eat that. And then cater your jokes to what he was going to use. Yeah, but for the most part, it was just like him saying, no.
Yeah, like, I wanted that job. I mean, I would have taken that job with anyone as a host. But I thought Jimmy was so great on Weekend Update. And then he was quickly like, I don't want to do jokes like Weekend Update. You know, I don't want to do like really smart kind of cutting jokes. I'd rather do like everyman jokes. And that's not for me. But I still wanted to do a good job. Most people who work there for like 3 months and they're gone, which is probably what I should have done. But I wanted the money and I got it. So, yeah, that was a fun little standoff with Jimmy Fallon that everyone was pretty amused by.
Connor N. Has Anthony ever been offered a job at SNL? Has he ever been offered to host? Would he host if ever given the opportunity?
Good question. I'm not sure if I've talked about this on the podcast. I once auditioned to host Weekend Update, which was my dream job at the time. And honestly, no longer is, just in that... one, I guess I'm older now, but Weekend Update isn't what it was. And that's not, I like the guys who are doing it now. Michael Che is a good friend of mine. I don't know Colin Jost, but I've never heard a bad word about him. But I feel like Weekend Update used to be like where you got your jokes for the week, and now there are so many shows doing it all week that it's like it's just a different thing. So it's not as important to me. But I wanted the job when I auditioned for it. Back when Colin Jost and Michael Che ended up getting the job, I auditioned and had fun. It was fun to get to go in there and sit behind the Weekend Update desk, have the announcers say your name, and get to run through a Weekend Update in front of Lorne Michaels and a bunch of writers and do well. I had a great audition, thought I could get the job, and did not. I've never been offered to host. I don't know if I would be. I would do it for sure, but it's not something that's important to me. And I have kind of talked trash on the show a little bit, which I try not to do. If you audition for the show and then make fun of it, it sounds like sour grapes. So bitter. I try not to do that. But I do not watch it very often, but I have a lot of friends who write for it and work on it. That it would be fun to host. What I used to want to do is they used to have a thing where they would bring on writers for like 2 weeks. I think Fred Armisen started it, where he would just have comic friends of his, Chelsea Peretti, Hannibal Buress, would just come and write for 2 weeks and then get out. So it's not much of a commitment. I always wanted to do that and never had the opportunity. And now I'm too old to get that. But I mean, I grew up watching SNL. I always have a soft spot in my heart for it. And I would, if they came calling, I would do it. I remember when Lorne Michaels called me to tell me that I did not get Update. And I remember thinking I got the job because they said, Lorne doesn't give bad news. Someone else would call you and say you didn't get the job. If Lauren's calling you, you got it. And Lauren calls me and tells me I did not get it. And my first thought is to be like, what the fuck? They told me you don't give bad news. And he immediately starts doing the thing where he's like, I'm only calling you because you were so good. You're clearly a star. You're going to be great. And I have this huge comedy empire. I'll find a way to use you one day. And then I was like, thank you so much, Mr. Michaels. Like, I appreciate the opportunity. Never heard from him again. It's like, that's the way that he diffuses you. So you're not like, what the fuck? I didn't get the job. You're going to go with these guys? Like,
that's because he knew Joe. I mean, Colin Jost is fine. But if you're choosing, you know, handsome white guys, he made a big mistake there. It's a different desk.
They made a choice. Yeah, if I was doing the Weekend Update, it would have been much different. They made a choice to do it the way they're doing it, and the way they're doing it is great. I have no problem with that. But I just think it's because I've read books about people who've been on SNL, books about SNL, and they all talk about Lorne Michaels as like they'll have a problem. They'll be like, I'm not being used enough on the show, and I'll go to his office to talk to him, and before I can start complaining, he gives me this 20-minute speech that makes me feel better, and I leave, and I'm like, oh. He diffused me before I ever even came up with a complaint, which I think is the best way to manage people. So, and I got to talk to Lauren a little bit when I wrote for Fallon. You know, he came down and kind of dropped wisdom on us a couple of times, and it was invaluable. He's a very smart guy and has been in the business a long, long time, and I have bad mouthed on occasion.
Do you think you could have been, you know, sliding doors moment? Who knows? You might be like expecting kids with Scarlett Johansson right now.
I'd be raising Scarlett Johansson's kids from different men, and trying to get another one of my own. It's very possible. It could have happened. But yeah, I don't regret it. Part of firing the maternity ward, what drove me to make that special great and make that tour great, was not getting the job and being upset about it, and just finding a way to not be bummed, to find a way to come out the other side and be happy. I didn't get the job in a way, and that's where I am currently. And that's, you know, that's working on yourself. That's therapy. That's figuring out how to not be bitter in life.
I had been meaning to ask you, our quote, you know, boss, technically the one of the owners of All Things Comedy, Bill Burr, just hosted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
That's like
I watched
kind of
that.
Like a, you know, a long time comic getting to host it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they've done a lot of comics this year. You know, Mulaney got to do it again. I think it's just easier with a comedian on SNL because the monologue's already written. You know, they just do their stand up. I don't know if they came and calling to me this year, I would like it. And I watched the Burr episode. I don't watch it that much. I don't watch much of anything, but they do a lot of like kind of small character pieces, which I think is interesting on SNL. Instead of like big, like, you know, what's in the zeitgeist right now, it's the kind of smaller character pieces that I think is interesting, that I would love the opportunity to host. I don't
what
think
about,
it's going to happen.
Like the
knows.
Acting part of it. What about some of the like really dorky sketches and stuff like that? Would you find that challenging to like step outside of your normal character?
as a cast member, I wouldn't be good at it. You know, I see the cast members. I think you guys are great at this. I would have been bad. I thought if I could be on SNL, I would have been like a Norm Macdonald type who was just always Norm in a sketch, no matter who. Even if he was Al Gore or Bob Dole, he was still Norm Macdonald. But if I was hosting, I would go out of my comfort zone happily. Like, I remember when Louis C.K. hosted once, he said, there's a sketch in this episode that I hate. It's so goofy and stupid that I want you to leave it in because I hate it. And I want to do something that I hate. I don't know if you remember. It was one where he has to like blow this weird horn. And it's just really stupid. And he feels stupid doing it. And it was very funny because of that. That I would just put myself in their hands and say, write whatever you want. I'll be down. I would not be one of those guys who comes in with their own writers and says, here's what I want to do. I would just put myself in their hands. I trust the people over there. Did that answer your question appropriately?
I think so.
Thank you. Thank you. And that was Erica's question. Actually, Greg, do you have anything to add to those questions?
No, that's good.
I dare someone to ask a question to Greg. I dare someone to ask a question to Greg that I could not jump in and answer.
I mean, there's tons of questions that are for me or for both of us, but you've told Erica, you know, only Jesselnik questions.
Would you host SNL, Greg?
I would show up and watch you from the side. That would be fun.
I would die to be on SNL. I would literally kill a small child.
Speaking of which, why have you not told us that you were on a game show, Erica?
I am gonna save that. That's coming up.
That when does it air? You're on the weakest
Monday
link.
Monday night.
The picture, you look embarrassed in the picture.
Oh my god, it's terrible. Wait, just say that's my recommendation this week. We'll get to it at the end.
Okay, I'll save it for you. If it was your corner, we'll talk about you being on a game show, being thirsty on national television. It doesn't seem like a fun game show to be on, but I want to hear more about it, of course, after it airs and during Recommendation Station. It'll be nice to have you recommend something that's not Ariana Grande.
I love her.
And that was Erica's Corner, Shine On You Crazy Diamond. And now it's time for
Ad copy.
Let's talk about meat. You guys know I'm a carnivore. I eat meat. I don't get enough vegetables in my life. I just love meat so much. And listen, I'll tell you, as someone who's privileged, I can tell you that the best stuff is not in the grocery store. You know, you want to go to a special butcher, but not every town has that. So a lot of people get boxes shipped to them of meat, like Trump meat was a big thing for a while. Greg and I ate that, like, and nothing but that for years. But now a lot of that stuff, you find out it comes from overseas. It's coming from Europe. You don't want that. I don't want that. So what I do is I get my meat from United Harvest. It's a new delivery company founded by ranchers, the best of us, the greatest generation. They exclusively provide the best cuts of American beef, Wagyu, lamb. I know exactly what I'm getting and exactly where it's from, and you can taste the difference. You guys have all had it. We all got some. We all tried it. And you can taste the difference. Erica, you're not even a big meat person, but you were like, I would eat meat more if it was just United Harvest. They work directly with North American family farms, highest standards of quality, animal care. Don't worry about cruelty. These animals want to die for us at United Harvest. It was created by a butcher in Oregon. And if you meet a butcher from Oregon, you know they've got it together. Okay, that's the best state to be a butcher in. And we're talking premium cuts. Ribeye, I love the ribeye. I grilled up a ribeye. It was delicious. New York strip is my jam. That's a steak I normally get. Grilled that one up. And that's potato fed, not corn fed. Richer, fuller flavor. The Wagyu top sirloin steak, that's Erica's favorite. It's a little fattier, a little more flavor. Again, I threw it on the grill. Good. Lamb loin chops, I wasn't that confident with those. When I brought them to San Diego, I had Emeka cook them, and they were incredible. Lamb loin chops are delicious. The flavor's out of this world. Premium quality. Everything is great. Everything about this food is great. I love that during COVID, I just get boxes of meat sent to my home. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I need you to do. Go to unitedharvest.com. UnitedHarvest.com. Enter the promo code JRVP, as you would with any website, and get 20% off site-wide with your order of $50 or more. That's a steal. That's so much goddamn meat. That's UnitedHarvest.com. Use the promo code JRVP at checkout. If you value quality, flavor, and convenience, and I know that you do, check out UnitedHarvest.com. Be sure to use that promo code JRVP. Save 20% off your orders of $50 or more. And that was
bad copy. Put that brisket in the crock pot. It was so good.
I'm hungry just reading that ad. This is, I mean, again, I've used meat delivery services. I consider myself to be a meat delivery service, if you will. But I can't hold a candle to this one. It's the best one. I'm psyched that they want to advertise with us. When we got with All Things Comedy, I said I want to advertise meat and books. And we haven't gotten books yet. It's meat.
Meat and boxes. It's a lot of meat too. It's like you get one of those boxes. We've been cranking through it. It's so good. Like whenever Emeka cooks something that's not United Harvest, I'm like, why aren't you cooking United Harvest?
Yeah. In my house, I say, what's for United Harvest? I don't say what's for dinner. What's for United Harvest? And they're like, wait, it's Anthony at 7 in the morning. And I'm like, we can't have United Harvest at 7 in the morning? Steak and eggs?
Is this Rummy responding to you? I mean, who is this in your house?
I have thin walls and I talk to my neighbor. Greg, let's get the headlines.
All right. All right, our first headline. Really excited this week. We have more headlines in this show than we ever have in the history of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior vice president.
Although back in the RJVP days, I think we just did all headlines and we would do like 10.
That's not true.
For a little while.
That's not. No.
Maybe one episode.
No. Nope.
All right. Let's talk. Let's talk a little more COVID. A group this week, Anthony, in Utah of anti-mask conspiracy theorists broke into a Utah ICU with video cameras in an effort to prove that the hospital and the ICU wasn't as full as they've been saying that they are.
I love this. I mean, when I saw this story, what movie, did this remind you of a movie, either one of you?
No.
It reminded me of the beginning of 28 Days Later.
Oh, yeah.
When they break in to save the monkeys from like being experimented on and they set off this whole thing. Like, it's the dumbest thing that you can do to be like, I don't believe in this mask stuff. I'm going to break into where all the sick people are and see them. Like, and they've had several people. Remember, there was a video of someone who drove by the hospital and they walk into the waiting room with the camera and they're like, see, there's nothing going on. And then the doctors walk out to be like, what are these idiots doing? And they drive away screaming, where are all the patients? And a nurse yells, we don't keep them in the lobby. Like, we have beds and stuff. Like, a hospital is not just a building where people just go in and just stand around sick. These people who don't believe it crack me up. And to put yourself in danger, I can't imagine why you would ever break into a hospital. Even if don't believe it from home. Don't believe Facebook your aunt and tell her that there's no one in the hospital. But why would you ever break in? It's so dumb.
There are a lot of people not believing it from home too. A nurse and a rep of the hospital said that they've also been getting an inordinate amount of phone calls every day from the community asking them, is your ICU really full? Is it true that it's really full?
Why would you ask that? Like, why would you not believe that people are getting sick? It's like, I read a thing where a doctor was giving an interview saying that people are like breathing their last breath angry and saying this is shouldn't be happening. This is impossible. Instead of FaceTiming with their families and taking the reality of this, that I don't know why you would be like, I understand flat earthers more than I understand this. If you're a flat earther, you're an idiot and you're wrong, but you're harmless. This is just, it's so stupid and it's harmful to the general public, but more so to yourself. To break into a hospital, like anything that starts with breaking into a hospital ends badly. Like, hey, we broke into a hospital, now we're going to live forever. That never happens. They got something. What did they break a window? Like, did they get caught?
I think it was that they went into the lobby with cameras, yeah, and they kind of waited for like a door to be open and then tried to sneak through and got stopped pretty quickly by security and yeah, then got taken away. I don't know, like, I hear what you're saying, but like maybe like the medical professionals have had it too easy. It's like they've been at level one of their video game, sort of trying to save lives during this crisis. Let's crank it up. Let's make it a little more difficult. Trying to dodge these anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers. Make it a little more challenging. Let's see what they got.
Greg, we've talked about this a lot off pod, but I believe that all doctors should have to wear mittens. I think that all doctors should wear mittens because they make so much money that I think it's elitist. And I think they should be held back a little bit. I don't know if you guys have ever been to medical school. It's a breeze. It's an easy, you can do it online. It's such a simple thing. And then they're like, ooh, I'm a doctor. Look at my white coat. Wear mittens. Right. If you're a real doctor, you'll wear mittens.
It's like great pay. You get a ton of respect.
Mm-hmm. Hours are easy. You work a couple hours a day.
Right. You can do Twitter threads of like how tough it is because everyone's got coronavirus and like people will give you a ton of likes. So it's like, yeah, let's crank this up. Let's make them earn it.
You get to kill people and then just get a new pair of gloves. You know what I mean? You just like take them off and be like, I'm calling it. Like just say what time it is and everyone lets you walk out of the room. That's what doctors get to do. It's like being James Bond. It's a license to kill. They should have to wear mittens. N95 mittens. Mittens that don't give. Mittens with like a steel wool.
I don't know. Just the word mittens is funny.
Yeah, a doctor wearing mittens? I think it's where this country's headed, and I'm all for it.
All right. Another gun-toting pooch is in the news this week, Anthony. In Texas, a dog shot his owner. A story as old as time. An owner, he had a gun in his waistband, and he picked up his dog, and the little doggy, he got his paw lodged in the trigger and shot the owner in the thigh.
I love these stories. I love because people who would like wear a gun at all times. This guy wasn't a cop. He was just a guy who liked guns. And I understand some people are just like super into guns. They want to have guns all the time. They're very Second Amendment. But I love the idea of someone's dog shooting them like this. And then them rolling around on the ground just being going, Second Amendment. Don't take it away. Don't. Oh, leave the bullet in. I love it. I love this. Gun. Everyone should have this gun. Everyone should get to experience this. Like if your dog can shoot you. Because listen, did I give Rummy a gun? Yes. When I got Rummy, when he was a puppy, I got him at 6 months old, and I waited a little bit to get him a gun. At 9 months, I gave him a gun, and he doesn't really. I haven't loaded it, but he does a thing. He does like the joke where he puts it to his own head, but he's never pointed it at me. You know, he's never like if he hears someone at the door, he'll point it towards the door. But kind of that thing where he does it like a little bit away. So if it accidentally goes off, he's all about gun safety. But I think, you know, he's almost a year old. I might start giving him bullets and then just see what happens. But he's a smart dog, and I think he's going to be responsible. But I love the idea of someone being very into guns, getting shot and still being into guns. You know, like that girl who got bit by a shark. And as they're carrying her away, she's like, I still love sharks. Like, don't hurt the shark. I like people doing that for guns. Mm. You know, being like, they're still the best, even though I'm bleeding.
Like, Rummy does have that thing where he's kind of got that bite in the front. Like, maybe, like, he could walk around the house kind of carrying the gun just in that bite and, like, swing it around. You can teach
him some
tricks.
Yeah, he's got the one lower fang that sticks out. That's what it's like he puts on the trigger guard and spins it. He spins the gun. You know what I mean? Kind of like a Wild West deal. And then, I don't know, I'd like to get him into Russian roulette. I feel like it's a bonding experience for a dog and its owner. So we'll see. But yeah.
If you're a dog out there, or really any animal, like listening, and you're a fan of the show, and you want to get on the show, just shoot your owner. That's like a guaranteed way to get on the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice
like
President.
If a dog shoots its owner, like it's going straight into the headlines. This is your chance.
You know what? This just popped into my head. But what about dogs made for guns made for dogs? Like guns that are dog specific. That like you, if the paw print isn't right, it won't go off. You know, I think that would be cool.
Because a lot of people say, you know, it's not just Second Amendment; it's for protection. And why do you have dogs? For protection. So what could be more doubly secure than a dog with a gun?
Nothing could be more doubly secure. I wonder, like, did someone see this happen? Because I would think that if I was a gun owner and I picked up my dog and my dog shot me, that I would not tell people that. That I would make up any other story. I fell down with the dog. I fell down and my gun went off. I was spinning it around. I went to a nightclub and it slipped out of my waistband and I tried to grab it and it shot me in the leg. Plexico. I would do anything but say my dog did this to me.
Well, this was, it was from like a police officer or a police station that put it on Facebook. So I think you're onto something. I don't know if the owner would have come out with this. Would have been a little little too embarrassing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. Again, I think JRVP is pro-dog, anti-gun. But if you put the two together, we're not going to argue. You know what I'm saying? Do I like green more than yellow? Yes, but you mix those colors together and you get...
orange, grello?
Yes, probably. And would you say orange or maybe yellow? If you mix yellow grello, and green, yeah, then we like that color. Does that make sense? It does. Get a dog and a gun. And now it's time for...
ad copy.
My favorite part of the show. I live for this. Three ads and a pre-roll? I'm in heaven. I'm so psyched to talk about. And this is like my favorite one. I've loved everything, but this one, Lucy Nicotine. It's a company founded by Caltech scientists, the best scientists in the world. And former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. You see someone vaping and they're like, oh, I'm trying to quit smoking. They're a loser. It's better to smoke and die than vape. Vaping is so lame. And nicotine lozenges, they're okay. I like the gum because it just seems like something normal people would do. It doesn't make you stand out as a someone trying to get over smoking and nicotine. And these Lucy ones, I like them because they got 4 milligrams. If you were a heavy smoker, and again, I've explained this before. I used to smoke, haven't smoked in years, but I'm always worried I'm going to have a drink and want one. So I chew Lucy gum, 4 milligrams. And you don't want a cigarette all day. Even if you get drunk, you just wouldn't want it. They have wintergreen, cinnamon, pomegranate. Again, I'm on record. Cinnamon's my jam. Wintergreen. Okay, pomegranate, it's for girls. But no judgment. They also have a lozenge in a cherry flavor, 4 milligrams of nicotine. I love this stuff. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes. Get rid of your vape. Throw out your dip. Okay, it's disgusting. What am I, in high school and college and a couple years after college still? Dip is wrong. Get some Lucy Nicotine gum and lozenges. It's the real deal. And you can get a subscription. You don't have to run out. You don't have to worry. There's nothing worse than going through a nicotine fit and not having what you need. So they deliver it right to your house. You never run out. The Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project listeners, go to lucy.co and use the promo code JRVP. Get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co. No M. We didn't need the M. And use promo code JRVP at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer, warning, this product contains nicotine.
What? Nicotine gum contains nicotine? Yes, it does.
Derived from tobacco. Nicotine's an addictive chemical. Lucy.co. And be sure to use that promo code, JRVP. And that was...
ad copy.
Buy that for your mom. Get the meat for your dad. Get boxing for yourself. And buy the gum for your mom. And take video of her opening it on Christmas. Or Hanukkah. And then put it out. Send it to Erica at what's the email?
JRVPJuniorVicePresident@gmail.com.
JRVPJuniorVicePresident@gmail.com. Send your parents and your mom and your dad the gifts we are talking about. Take a video of them opening it and then send it to us. And we will play them all. Erica will watch them all. And then talk about it.
I want to, you know how we like send a little, you know, All Things Comedy sends out a little clip each week of the podcast. I want the clip this week to just be you going, nicotine, nicotine.
Gotta read the war. Hey, no one told me this nicotine was that nicotine in it. What? I'm sure
we're probably losing money for that last part, but it's a ridiculous warning. It's like, this new kind of beer.
Craig's
warning,
crying.
Warning, beer has alcohol in it. Yeah, Lucy Nicotine gum. I don't want you guys get into something you don't quite understand. It's got nicotine in it. Had to say it. Just for myself, just so I can sleep at night.
Just play the music, please. All right. My favorite headline of the week is about a class of 15 kindergartners in Texas. Once again, Texas, that were seen playing outside their school recently with a rabies-infested bat.
Craig, what was that word again?
They were playing outside their school with a rabies.
What kind of bat?
Rabies. Why did I say
I've never heard anyone say rabies.
They haven't. They don't.
No
they
one's
don't.
Ever no, said rabies.
I've never had.
Have
either.
You never heard of rabies?
I've heard of rabies. I don't know why I just said rabies. I don't know.
A rabies infected. I mean, listen, rabies is 10 times worse. You don't want rabies. Rabies is like, you can deal with that. What I love about this story is that there's a video that someone saw kids playing with a bat. And listen, 2020 is not the year to be playing with bats. Right?
I mean, they're that's 5 year olds. They're 5 year olds playing with a bat.
Know, even 5 year olds know we're wearing masks right now because people got a little too cute with the bats. You know, you don't want to be playing with it. You don't want to watch Batman. They tried to make a Batman movie this year, COVID. Right? It got shut down. That someone, for an adult, to see 5 year olds playing with a bat and be like, this is cute, I'm going to take a video. I'm going to send it to the parents and be like, oh, look.
Well, I don't.
Look,
I don't
what recess
think,
was like today.
I don't think that you're right that a video is why this all came out. But I'm just guessing. But I was thinking it was a security video from the school because it was like of the playground, and there's like 15 kids all like throwing like what I imagine to be like a dying bat, which they later tested and did indeed have rabies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad the doctors found out it had rabies before the kids got it. I mean, it sounds to me 15 kids throwing around a dying bat sounds like Erica's wine tasting. I just hope these kids, I'll say it, I hope these kids all die. Because you can't be that dumb in 2020. You can't be playing with bats. And if you do play with a bat, you deserve it.
Well, they were really worried, and they're trying to make sure they contact all the kids because it's pretty treatable rabies nowadays. But in a small child, if untreated, it could kill you. The rabies.
Yeah, it could. You got your kid foaming at the mouth. You don't want that. That's bad. That's a bad form. That's bad look. And it used to be like 20 shots in the stomach for rabies. I remember as a kid being terrified.
What?
Yeah.
If
they thought you had rabies, you had to get like 20 shots in the stomach, and now it's like, I don't know, it's a pill. I think they just give you a pack of Lucy's gum, and Lucy's gum takes it away. I don't know if that's true. I'm not a doctor, but I would assume that Lucy's nicotine gum, which I've heard contains nicotine, will cure your rabies. But what I do is because of my boxing training, I can fight off bats. I don't play with them. I just punch them.
What do you eat?
I eat the meat. Like, I want to eat the bat, but I have meat that I don't have to eat the bat. The meat comes to me.
They
tied it all together.
They did close down the school. I mean, Texas.
The whole school?
Just about everyone. Well, just a couple of days later, a teacher got coronavirus, and they shut down the school, too. And so, who knows? There's a lot going on. I look at it more like, I don't know, it's a pandemic. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what's coming next.
That's how you look at it?
I'm just saying, like,
that's your point of view?
Go for pandemic? It. I'm saying go for it.
Play with the bat.
Your kids, you don't know where your future is. You don't know where this plague, this, everything is going to go next. Like, if playing with the bat is going to make you feel a little more alive, these kids deserve to have their fun too.
Okay, you know what? You turn me around on this. Play with the bat. Be like Greg's kids. Greg brings home bats to play for his kids to play with. They love it. He's like, I found a bat that's dying. You guys got 20 minutes with this bat before it dies. Have fun. Erica, what do you think about bats? This is my favorite story of the week.
Okay. It's some international news. From Takikawa, Japan, where local officials have deployed some howling monster robot wolves in an effort to scare away local bears who have become a nuisance.
This was not the story that's my favorite. The next one is. But I love this one, too. I just love howling monster wolf robots. Like, they were like, listen, we got bears. We got a bear problem. What do you want to do? And they were like, what about putting some wolves out there? Like, the wolves will keep the bears kind of in check. And they were like, it's not enough. And like, what about howling wolves? The howl will scare them. And they were like, that's not scary enough. And like, what about howling monster wolf robots?
And then the guy was like, "You were? Have you been reading my diary? Let's make those right now. Like, why don't we have those for every to scare off everything? It makes scarecrows look prehistoric. I want howling monster wolf robots. I want to trade in my dog for a howling monster wolf robot." It's just a hilarious solution to, what do you do? Greg, if there's a bear in your backyard, what are you doing?
Howling monster wolf robot.
See, I wish I had that option. I've got to shoot it. I've got to shoot it with my gun or box it. I can box the bear. Those are my two options. Oh, and also I have several knives next to me. But I prefer to box the bear or shoot the bear. But if you have a howling monster wolf robot, I mean, what is it? Does it just howl? Is it just a piece of metal that
did
howls?
Did you click the link and watch the video? Because the production value wasn't quite as exciting as it sounded, but we can listen to it.
You got to see this.
Oh my God. I mean, that looks way more horrifying than I thought. It looks like something you would see in a haunted house. And be like, this is all you're doing? But the sound is from hell.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But I don't understand why you need to have the robot. Why does it have to look like a wolf? Like, they painted it. Is the bear like, that's got to be a wolf?
Yeah, because the bears are afraid of wolves. Apparently, the wolves that used to kind of keep the bear population under control are now extinct because they were hunted. These wolves, I don't know how realistic they are, but maybe bears are pretty dumb and the sound is pretty believable. And there's a whole company that's been selling these howling monster robot wolves all across Japan.
But they don't move.
No more bear attacks since this. They put up the wolves in this town. There's been no more bear attacks.
That's smart. I would carry one around with me wherever I went to make sure bears don't get me. I love the howling monster wolf robot. And if they want to advertise with JRVP, I invite them to. I guarantee I could sell 100 of them by the time I finish my ad copy. If you give me a link and a JRVP code to howling monster robot wolves. Wolves. Wolf.
.com.
Now let's get to my favorite story. I love this. Give it to me.
Okay.
Inject it into my veins.
We've been a lot of animal stories. This one is from Qatar. The government of Qatar, Anthony, on Wednesday last week expressed regrets but defended their decision to pull more than a dozen women from their Qatar Airlines flight and subject them to invasive medical exams after an abandoned newborn was found in a nearby airport bathroom.
I love this. Obviously, horrible story that you would have to give birth, drop your baby off in a bathroom, and then fly the same day. That must be tough. But I love the idea of the flight attendants going up to women and being like, "Excuse me, did you just give birth? I don't want to insult you, but did you just give birth and leave a baby?" And every one of them was like, "No, I did not do that." And they took a dozen of them and medically search them. And how much searching do you need to do? Is it just let me smell you? I would think you would
know. They said they were a strip search. They were bound for Australia. And yeah, they took 12 women off the flight and they were strip searched. And, some women's groups are understandably very upset about this.
Yeah. Take me at my word or look that I'm not bleeding right now. And I didn't have a baby. It was a newborn baby, still covered in blood. She gave birth in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then went in and then went got in the plane.
I don't know how they picked these 12 out or determined.
Get the next flight. Take the next flight. Did they find who did it?
It didn't say. I mean, it sounded like it would be the perfect crime, abandon your baby and then jump on a plane and then you're in another country. But maybe the perfect crime is abandoning the baby in the bathroom and then just, driving home. Because then they just search people that went on the plane.
But you could just go to the country, have the baby there, and then no one knows that you were even pregnant. You know what I mean? Have it during the flight. But I love the awkwardness of having to go out and be like, if you're a female on the flight, would you ring your call button? We have a question for you. And then just going up and convincing someone to get up out of their seat
and come with you for a medical examination because a baby was left in the restroom. Like, it must have been, you must have been psyched to be on that flight and be an older lady, to be like 60 and be like,
you're like chilling.
Wasn't me. Or like, was it like a 14-year-old girl where they were like, listen, I know you're on the fence, but you gotta come. You gotta come with us.
You know? I know you've given it a lot of thought probably over the years. Like, where would you abandon a newborn baby?
Where would I? I mean, where wouldn't I? I would have abandoned a newborn anywhere. You know, I think that people, you know, obviously you can leave it outside a fire station, no questions asked. You could leave it in a hospital. You could put it in a bag and then throw it in a regular garbage can. I think that works. I was like the prom girl who went to prom and had the baby, put it in the trash can, and then went and danced. Remember that?
This is a tough one, yeah.
She was classic.
Erica's just like cringing listening to this story.
Just pull a Casey Anthony, put her, was it she in a suitcase? I don't know. But you can get, little kids are, like my dog's 65 pounds. If I wanted to abandon him, it would be tough. But a newborn baby, I mean, fold it up and put it in your wallet for a couple days. It was good to get away from the animal stuff for a little bit and get into a baby on an airplane.
Yeah, that was nice. Let's get back into it. Sad news, Anthony, out of Alaska, where an Alaskan Airlines plane tragically killed a brown bear last week as it was landing.
I couldn't believe this story. That this is like, I mean, it feels like this has never happened. Imagine being the pilot. Like, Steve, do we just hit a bear? Like, how do you hit, like, with a car it would be scary, but with a plane, like, was it like they were going to land and the bear was just like ran out onto the runway? Or what happened?
No, they had landed and they were, whatever you call it, I don't know why I'm
taxiing.
Taxiing, yeah.
Rabbies.
They were taxiing, you know, they were going towards the gate. It was at like a really tiny airport in the middle of the night in Alaska. So probably not, you know, a lot of people around. It was totally dark. And then they hit the bear. But yeah, it must have been a terrible moment. And they were like, hey, Ron, like, shit.
Yeah.
was that a fucking bear?
I guarantee they blame the guy with like the orange cones who guides them in. They're like, that fucking guy didn't see the bear?
Well, they said that.
They did?
Well, not quite that, but they said like in the past that, you know, other animals, moose, and some other different animals have like snuck on. But they said like the guy who was out there, like he didn't see anything 10 minutes before and it must've like come out right under the gun.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bad flight. It's
where
like,
was the guy?
What do you mean?
What do you mean the guy?
Like, it's like, oh, isn't he out there? He's like, oh, was he down there when the bear?
Well, in Alaska,
he's not standing right in front of the plane or anything.
Well, they waved them in. How do you not see a damn bear?
It's nighttime. I just think it must have been a crazy flight to be like, how was your day, honey? And be like, oh, you wouldn't fucking believe this. We had to search all the women. We had to search all the women to see if they just gave birth. And then we hit a fucking bear when we landed.
There was a baby bear there too, though. A cub, and the cub survived. I mean, the cub wasn't there. So that's like, you know, good news, bad news.
Did they search the women to see which one of them gave birth to that bear? Don't fly.
It's like, shit, Ron. What the fuck was that?
You know what, Greg? This is my problem with you professionally, is that I named the pilot Steve, and then you switched it to Ron without even asking me. The pilot's name was Steve.
This is why I couldn't be on SNL, you know, not close listening.
Neither one of us could be on SNL. What's our last headline?
Our last headline is the 50th anniversary. I was actually surprised you chose this one pleasantly, that a story from K2 News in Oregon that was aired 50 years ago had its anniversary. It's one of the most infamous segments in local news history. I'd never heard about it before.
Me neither.
But it was a segment where they reported live from a beach in Oregon where a massive whale was exploded with dynamite.
So like this whale beached itself, died.
So huge. Yeah, it was dead on arrival, whale. Basically, yeah.
And they were like, what do we do? Do we drag it back into the ocean? Do we cut it up, and they were like, no, we're just going to put dynamite in it. And tell me, describe it to me, because I did not watch the video, but I've heard about it.
Well, let's listen to just like an introductory clip, which helps set it up.
It had been so long since a whale had washed up in Lane County, nobody could remember how to get rid of one. In selecting its battle plan, the highway division decided the carcass couldn't be buried because it might soon be uncovered. It couldn't be cut up and then buried because nobody wanted to cut it up, and it couldn't be burned. So dynamite it was, some 20 cases or a half ton of it.
Holy shit. Nobody wanted to cut it up. We got to cut up this. We got to cut up this whale. Nope. What do you? No one. I'm not doing it. What about dynamite? Yes, I donate 50 cases of dynamite
it's
to this.
It's so fucking big, though. It's the big. You have it's to. Huge. It's on YouTube. You know, you guys can find
it's
it.
Huge. But it's is that like, the only clip we have, or do we have a clip of?
No. I mean the. So that's the warning, and you could see sort of. You can listen to the newscaster as it's going on, you can tell they begin to like wonder whether this was a good idea. And
whether it's a good idea to blow this up, or whether it's a good idea to be standing near it with a camera it's like the county fair.
all of the above. Let's listen to the explosion.
And that's the sound of just raining whale parts.
Our cameras stopped rolling immediately after the blast. The humor of the entire situation suddenly gave way to a run for survival as huge chunks of whale blubber fell everywhere.
I love the humor of the situation. The humor of blowing up a whale corpse suddenly evaporated when we had to run for our lives. No one predicted. No one brought an umbrella. Where did they think it was going to go?
I don't know. Like, I wish, you know, we had to be muted while we listened to that. But, like, the explosion itself, to me, is the funniest part.
So funny.
Just watching this whale just go fucking everywhere. And then and there's ladies, and they're like, oh, oh, my gosh. and then, like, pretty quickly, within 10 seconds, gigantic whale parts start falling everywhere. There is a car, like, a quarter mile
that got smashed.
Away where it totally smashed their windshield, like ruined the entire car, and it was like half a mile away, and everyone just started like running for their lives.
I love the idea of someone being like, you know, someone talked them into this. Someone was like, you know, I could do it with dynamite. If you guys want to buy half a ton of dynamite, I can get rid of this thing. It'll be just like, wash your hands of this thing. I bet he lit the fuse and then walked away being like, well, that's it for that. And then of course, no, you just made a million little whales that are everywhere now.
And they left, like, half the whale was still there. It didn't work very well. They thought that it would blow it out to sea and that seagulls would start, you know, kind of take care of it. But the seagulls all just fucking left because they got scared of the dynamite. And it smelled, apparently it just smelled like absolute shit after they did it. And, like, the whole town smelled. The end of the report is really funny, too. We should listen to that. That's the last one.
It might be concluded that should a whale ever wash ashore in Lane County again, those in charge will not only remember what to do, they'll certainly remember what not to do.
You know, someone was like, if they had just used more dynamite. next time you listen to me, guys, hand grenades. Maybe everyone just gets there and shoots the whale a bunch of times until it's gone.
The saddest part was like that. The guy who they asked him before, they're like, you know, do you think you're going to, there'll be any work to do afterwards? Like, we hope not. We think this will be a one day, one day thing. And then they just show him afterwards. And they're the ones all just like trying to scoop up the remaining whale, like at the very end. It's a sad moment.
I think it's just funny that they remembered the 50th anniversary. They must talk about this in that town every day. That they've been like, it's the 49th anniversary of this, and they've been psyched about this, 50th. So happy anniversary, Exploded Whale. And that was headlines. Now it's time for
Choo-choo
Recommendation Station. Greg, what do you got this week?
All right, I'm going to recommend a documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called Other Music. If you lived in New York, in Lower Manhattan, I lived in the East Village. You know, any time in the last 20 years, you know Other Music, which was a CD store there. Like, and it's kind of one of those documentaries about like the end of like an era, which was like New York music, which is admittedly a little niche, but if you lived in New York in that time, you know that fucking store. Like the Nationals in it, Vampire Weekend, TV on the Radio, Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And it's just sort of like about like CD stores in general, just like going in the tank. It's really good if that's your sort of thing.
What's it called? That's definitely my sort of thing. I know. I love the idea of that. What's it called again?
Do you know the store? It was in Astor Place. I went in it once. It was like very punk rock. It was right across from Tower Records, although it survived like a decade past Tower Records. And then when they announced that they were going to close, they decided to sort of make a documentary about the last like 3 months of it. Jason Schwartzman's in it. A bunch of celebrities are in it too. It's Benicio Del Toro. It's cool.
It was the kind of place that you went to like discover something brand new. You know, it wasn't like, I'm going to go there and get the new Spin Doctors. You know what I mean? That's where I go to Tower Records to get the new Spin Doctors. You would go and just like listen to what they were playing and be like, what is this?
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Like, I like this, recommend this. It was a great place. And I love CD stores. But yeah, if you're into music at all, I think that sounds like a good thing to check out. Tell me the name again.
Other
Music on Amazon Prime. I'm going to write that down. Erica, what do you got? Did Christina Aguilera put out a new album?
No, me and my buddy Jane Lynch created a game show called Weakest Link. No, it's a reboot from the old UK show, and I am a contestant on it that airs Monday on NBC, and it's going to be very, very funny.
Is it Weakest Link was a show from England, and they brought it here with the same host, the English host, and it was like kind of like she was mean. Yep. Kind of thing. Jane Lynch is supposed to be mean on this. Jane Lynch, by the way, gets her dogs washed at the same place I take my dogs to.
Do you know her?
I worked with her on the roast of Roseanne Barr, and I think I freaked her out. My joke about her was about, she was very nice and professional. My joke about her was about like a school shooting on Glee. Like I made like a Glee school shooting joke, and she just gave me this weird look. And I was like, oh, I guess she was offended by that. And then like 3 months later, they write her character off the show with the school shooting. Like it was a school. So she, I think she was kind of like,
what?
Not offended, but like, it was like,
how'd
some
you know?
Kid.
Yeah, what was exactly. The joke? Do you remember it?
I said, Jane, I love your show Glee. And everyone laughs at that because I've been like tearing these women apart for like 15 minutes. I don't watch Glee. I go, I watch every episode. No matter what I think is going to happen next, there's never a school shooting. And and she just like looked at me like, you're talking about killing children? But no, she was more like, you just guessed my plot line 6 months from now that I have not shot yet. But I love her. I think she's hilarious. And I did not recognize her when I ran into her at the dog place. My friend was like, that was Jane Lynch. But yeah, Jess Rona Grooming, where the stars go to get their dogs washed and cut. So Weakest Link Monday.
Check it out time? Monday night. I think it's 8 p.m. NBC.
Is it the kind of show that if you win, you get to be on it next week?
No, it's a one time thing.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us how you did?
I can't.
Do you? Is it the kind of thing where if you win it, if you're like, how many contestants are there on one episode?
9, 8.
So it's like one of them gets money, or all of them get.
It's all or nothing.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to guess nothing, considering you're still here. Because if I won that shit, I'd be like, no podcast this week. I'd be looking at Coach T right now if you won anything.
Well, it takes 150 days from the air date to get paid if I were to win.
So even if you win, you're kind of the biggest loser.
What the fuck?
Oh, I can't wait for Monday. Anyway, my recommendation this week is a book that I'm so excited to recommend this book. I was talking to Greg about this while we were on vacation. When I left after the election to go away, I took a couple books with me, and I was like, I want to escape this completely and just read something absurdist. And I had read a review of Ant Kind by Charlie Kaufman. Everyone knows Charlie Kaufman, Being John Malkovich. What's his other ones?
I'm thinking of Ending Things just came out, and I was thinking of doing that on Recommendation Station one of these weeks.
He's written some amazing movies, directed some great movies.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That's what I was trying to think of. Eternal Sunshine is amazing. And he wrote this novel, and the reviews weren't great. And then my friend Bo Burnham texted me, and I haven't talked to Bo in years, and he's like, "Hey man, I know you like to read. You've got to read this book. It's the funniest thing I've ever read." And I was like, "Really? I've heard it's terrible." And he goes, "I know the reviews have been say it's pretentious, but you've got to check it out." So I brought it with me, thinking I'll give it 100 pages, and it's a 700 page book. I thought I'll bring a couple extra books maybe, and I spent my entire vacation reading this book and laughing out loud. And when I tell you I laughed out loud at this book, like, I can count on one hand the number of times I've laughed out loud at a book. I've read funny books, but laughing out loud is very rare for me, and I was laughing out loud throughout. It is hilarious. It is so goddamn funny. The plot is incidental. The plot's crazy. It's a very Charlie Kaufman-esque plot, but it's 700 pages of absolute hilarity. Like, he basically takes a movie critic and puts him through hell. It's very anti-movie critic. It's extremely, extremely calling out by name anti-Judd Apatow in a way that I just was delighted by. And it's absolutely brutal. It's based on a film critic for The New Yorker, a very pretentious guy. And it's just devastating. Like, have you guys ever heard of the small penis theory?
Yes.
Or no, the small penis method? It's like, if you're going to make fun of someone in satire and make it like a thinly veiled thing, like if I got mad at you, Greg, and I was like, I'm going to write a book where Greg is a child molester, you know, the way I avoid getting sued is I give you a small penis. Like if they, that way you can't say, hey, that's me. Because no one's going to be like, I've got a micro penis. So it really is a thing. Michael Crichton made a critic who would give him a bad review, made him a child molester with a micro penis in his book, so the guy couldn't sue. So it's like a thing. And this is one of the best versions of that, where this guy is so awful.
Is it based
cannot
on like
stress
Roger
enough.
Ebert?
No. A critic that you, a very pretentious New Yorker film critic, the kind of guy who would watch a movie backwards as part of his viewing experience, like that kind of shit. But the book is just the funniest goddamn thing I've ever read. And I know that it's 700 pages. A lot of people aren't going to be into it. I'm not recommending this like everyone's got to read it. I'm saying that I personally have never laughed harder at a book. It was great. I will definitely reread it. Part of me wished I'd underlined jokes as I went through it, because it made me laugh so fucking hard. It's been, damn. I was talking to my friend who recommended the last book to me that made me laugh out loud, and I laughed out loud at one joke in the entire book, and I still remember it to this day because it's so rare that I laugh out loud at a book. Ant Kind, One Word by Charlie Kaufman. Don't listen to the reviews. Don't pay attention to the plot. Just read it and enjoy it and soak it up. It is so funny. Charlie Kaufman, people forget, started out as a comedy writer. He was a writer on the Dana Carvey sketch show. One of the greatest sketch shows, I think, ever. That he's got a great comedic mind, and it's unappreciated. But this book is goddamn hilarious. Ant Kind by Charlie Kaufman. Cannot recommend it stronger.
Woof. Came hot.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Hot. And that was our animal episode. Walker, get us the F.O.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.